Well, good morning again. My name is Trevor Kaufman, and I'm the campus pastor here. And I love the moments that we got to just experience because it reminds me that we are, in fact, a part of a bigger family. And yes, we are a part of the bigger family of Christianity all across the world, but it's so easy to take for granted the blessing that we have in our campuses. And so when we have a moment, when we need something, we can lean in on one another. And I was just an incredible morning for me to be able to worship in with those that I call my friends at our McKinley campus. I hope you enjoyed that this morning. And we're going to wrap up with one more song with them as we conclude later as well. But again, it's so great to be here with you this morning as we're continuing our series that we started last week, When God Speaks, learning how to hear the voice of God. And so I want to ask, have you ever wanted to be in more than one place at one time? I can't imagine anybody in this room has never experienced that need or that desire, right? My kids are right now at the age, it seems like this year it hit, where they're all needing to be somewhere different at the same exact time. They're either doing sports or, well, no, my kids don't do sports. Who am I kidding? Music, they're doing music stuff. They're doing hobbies, all sorts of different things, but they all need to be in different places in the state, it seems like, simultaneously. And so I've got three kids. They got to be somewhere. There's my wife and I. We can't be in all those places, and so it would be so great if my daughter would just get her license already. So we'll get there. It'll happen, but it's crazy, right? We all have those moments in life where we just got to be in multiple places at the same time. And when my kids eventually graduate and go out and they're no longer under my roof anymore, wouldn't it be nice if I could just sort of tag along with them for a little bit and coach them and sort of nurture them and add guidance and direction to them when they're sort of not with me anymore? But that's what I'm doing right now, right? I'm preparing them to be able to go out and do that on their own. Now, I say all of this because it's really no different with the ministry of Jesus Christ. So he walked this earth for 33 years. The last three of those years, he was doing specific ministry with his disciples, and he was teaching them, and he was guiding them along the way. But what was going to happen when he had to leave? What was going to happen when he was going to be crucified and he was going to defeat death, but then he was going to ascend into heaven? What was going to be left for his disciples? I mean, these guys weren't all that together yet, right? They still needed some help. So what was going to happen? What if there could be a coach who could give them wisdom and courage and direction as they continued his work? What if that coach could be in more than one place at the same time? What if that coach could be with these very common individuals to help them do very uncommon things? What if that same coach could be available to you and I as we continue the work of Jesus Christ? And what if that coach could speak to us directly and we could actually understand what the coach was telling us to do? Well, we're going to learn this morning that that is, in fact, the case. And so last week, we learned that God does speak. And as he speaks, he reveals his character, his purposes, and his will. And just as Jesus was not about to leave his disciples, he's not leaving you and I alone either. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning as we dive into the Holy Spirit. Today, we're going to look at how we can hear from God through the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit, in a way, is reproducing God the Father through you and I in this very mysterious, crazy reality that we get to be a part of as the family of God. And so we're going to be in John chapter 16 today. Jesus actually starts talking about the Holy Spirit to his disciples and those around him in John chapter 14. But we have a very lengthy passage that gives us some very descriptive aspects of the Holy Spirit, why the Holy Spirit is here and what the Holy Spirit is going to do, who the Holy Spirit is, all of those things. We're going to address those this morning. And then in your studies, privately throughout the week, in the book that you have hopefully gotten, the When God Speaks resource, which we have completely sold out of, but if you want, you can still order on Amazon. You're going to dig into specific aspects of how the Holy Spirit works in your life. So we'll touch on chapter 14 a little bit today, but we're going to spend the most of our time in John chapter 16, starting in verse 4 going through 15. So I'm going to start by reading verses 4 through 6, and then we'll kind of dive into exploring this together. Starting with this is Jesus speaking. "I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. And none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things." Now, to give a little bit of context, Jesus is in the midst of his farewell speech to his disciples because he knows that he is about to be seized, he is about to be persecuted, he is about to be arrested and crucified, ultimately dying on the cross for each and every one of us. He will raise from the dead, defeating death, and ascend into heaven. But all of this is about to take place. And he knows that as he does this and as he goes, the same thing is going to happen to his disciples. They're going to experience persecution. They're going to experience all sorts of different things. Many of them are, in fact, martyred for their faith. And so this is coming to them, and he wants them to know that. And so, but they don't fully quite get this yet. And we've said this many times before. The disciples were still under the impression that Jesus has come to overthrow the Roman Empire and free them from the oppression of Rome. But Jesus had come for so much more than that. He's coming to save and free all of us from the oppression of sin. But the disciples are thinking this was like a political thing and that they're going to get to reign and rule with Jesus here on earth. So when Jesus says, I'm about to go, they're like, you can't leave. How are we going to do this together, right? They still don't fully get this. They eventually do, but it takes a while for them, right? And I think it would probably take a while for you and I as well. And so this is the reality that they're facing right now. Up until this point, Jesus was walking and talking with them and just living life with them and showing them by example how to do these things. But the time was coming very soon in which he would be gone. But he wants to make sure that they understand they will not be left alone. How is that possible? Well, let's look at the next verse. And verse 7 says this. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So we see Jesus speak of this advocate. Well, now, what is an advocate? The Greek word for advocate used in this is parakletos, which means helper, or someone called to one's side for aid or assistance. And it's used by Greek writers often to denote an advocate in court as one who intercedes on behalf of somebody else. So Jesus is saying, listen, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to leave you an advocate, a coach, to help guide you and direct you as you continue the work that I have started. And you're going to continue it in even bigger ways than I can do on my own. So we see through this passage and the rest of the passage that we're going to read this morning that through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is still with us today. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus was going to stay and remain with the disciples, even though physically he was going to be gone. And through the Holy Spirit, he is with you and I today, even though physically he may not be standing next to us. Jesus is saying that I have so much more to do, and I can only do so much on my physical own. But if I leave, Christ's presence on earth will go through you. Up until that point, it was only in one place at one time, through the person of Jesus. In the Old Testament, again, we see that the glory of God filled the temple and the tabernacle, and it would move from one place to the next, but it was in one place at a time. And then Jesus came in physical form and walked as God on earth. But he, in that time, was in one place at one time, but then as he leaves this earth, he leaves his spirit with us, with his disciples and with you and I. And it was a mind-blowing, exponential way of expanding the kingdom of God throughout the world. And the most incredible part about all of this is that he wants to partner with us to do this. He wants us to participate with him. That's what we talk about in our mission statement, to participate with the Holy Spirit. He wants to partner with us. We get to partner with Jesus. We get to partner with the creator of the universe to continue to do his work. His spirit alive in us is guiding, directing, and helping us as our advocate, as our coach. And not only is he is with us forever. Let's go back to chapter 14 where I mentioned Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit earlier. He says this, he, the Father, will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. You see, it's not like we're just going to get the Holy Spirit for a few more weeks and then we got to go off on our own. It's not like Jesus is like, hey, I'm gonna go away. I'm going to give you one more six-week chance to get things right, and then you're truly on your own. No, I'm going to leave you this advocate that will be with you forever. If you acknowledge me as Savior, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that I am Savior, my very spirit will fill you, guide you, direct you, equip you, empower you, which you're going to talk about this week in your individual studies, to do incredibly great things, greater than he could even do on earth on his own. And the other interesting thing is that when Jesus spoke these words, he was only on earth for a few more painful hours. Like I mentioned earlier, he knew this persecution was coming. But by contrast, the Holy Spirit would be present from generation to generation, from century to century, right now, even today, never leaving those who love Jesus. Never. And as I stated before many times, it's not just that the Holy Spirit is with us every day. It's not just that the Holy Spirit is with us every day forever. It is that the Holy Spirit, in fact, lives inside of us. We become the temple of Jesus Christ. He finds his dwelling place within us. And the more we understand this reality, the more clearly we can hear his voice speaking to us. And so he says this as well in chapter 14, in verse 17. He says, "For he lives with you and will be in you." And then the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 6:19 says it this way, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God?" Again, we become the temple. The Holy Spirit lives and dwells within us, working through us. It's an incredible reality. And so the Apostle Paul teaches us this later. Now, an interesting side note is that Jesus knows this persecution is coming. Jesus knows he's going to be arrested. Jesus also knows that the disciples, like I already mentioned, are going to continue to be persecuted for their faith and for saying what he's instructing them to say. Interestingly enough, most of the persecution that they're probably about to face is going to come from orders and the direction of Paul that we just read. Because before Paul was Paul, he was Saul. And Saul persecuted the Christians of that day, which would have coincided with this time because Paul didn't become a follower of Jesus until about 5 to 7 years after Jesus died and rose again. And so the immediate persecution that these disciples would have faced most likely was coming from the direction of Saul, who became Paul and wrote most of the New Testament for us, and we are still speaking about him today. So it's just an incredible way that God works. And the interesting thing is also that Saul became Paul through this divine moment with the Holy Spirit that we're talking about right now. It's crazy when you see the big picture behind all that goes on in Scripture. So the Holy Spirit is in fact the Spirit of Jesus. Many times I've been corrected in the past by referring to the Holy Spirit as it. Like, what is it telling me today? Or what is it going to do? But in reality, the Holy Spirit is in fact the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And so we see even Jesus himself refer to the Holy Spirit as he. And so the Spirit of Jesus, and if we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, believing he is our Savior, he lives in us forever. So what does that mean? Why does it matter, right? So we've got a little baby Jesus living in our heart, like we tell our kids in elementary school or in Bible school, right? I always used to pray with my kids when they were younger about how Jesus is in your heart, and they would always literally think that there's a little miniature man in their heart. But his Spirit truly is in us, right? It may not look like a little man walking around with sandals on, but it is the Spirit of God, the Almighty God and Creator. Like, we kind of minimize it and dumb it down to that, but it is incredible what is taking place supernaturally within you and I. And so as he lives in us, we learn to hear from him easier and more. And what he's doing in us is he's coaching us, he's directing us, and he's guiding us, like we've already addressed, like Jesus said he would do. One thing I love about recently about the Buffalo Bills is that they have spent a lot of time on player development. So when a starter gets injured, the backup player knows what to do and they don't miss a beat. Now, for the most part, we've seen that work pretty well this season, right? So that's like a kind of a funny current analogy way of saying, listen, Jesus Christ is the best of the best when it comes to living a life that glorifies him and his purposes. And he wants to instill in us, he wants to develop us to be able to carry on the work that he's going to do even when he's gone. And so he continues to do that. And how he does that is in a few different ways. He does that through calling us out when we mess up. We call that the conviction of the Holy Spirit. He shows us new ways in which to interact with others, because the world would tell us to interact with others a certain different way. Like, there's a hierarchy system, but Jesus says, listen, that's not what it's all about. I would encourage you to serve those beneath me. And all right there, that even switches things around right there, right? And so as followers of Jesus Christ, it changes the way we interact with other people. And the Holy Spirit helps to bring that out in us. And he also instructs us and shows us the truth about ourselves and about God. The fact that our identity and our value is found only in the person of Jesus Christ, not in our successes and the things of this world. So there's these things that we're fighting against with culture that the Holy Spirit is helping to correct, guide, and nurture in you and I as we continue to live this life for Jesus. And so this is really kind of what Jesus is speaking to as we go back to our original passage in chapter 16 in verses 8 through 11. He speaks this. Let me read this passage and then we'll talk about it a little bit. It says, when he comes, the Holy Spirit or the advocate, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. So I read that first. I read that passage a few times, and it was sort of a little confusing to me. So I sort of summarized it in this way. Really, the Holy Spirit is here to convict us of what truly sin is, because the world has dumbed sin down or completely eliminated it from our lives, right? It's essentially sin has just become a mistake or an oops, I messed that up. But there's really no consequences to it in a lot of scenarios. Many, many there are, but it's sort of been dumbed down. It's not a big deal anymore. And Jesus is saying, listen, the Holy Spirit is going to clearly identify to you what is in fact sin. What is in fact the things that I have commanded you to do that will essentially separate me from you if you continue to do them. The fact that sin is real. And he says here, one of the greatest sins of all is obviously not believing that Jesus is even Savior. He then continues and says that it will teach about righteousness. The fact that we can only be made righteous through the person of Jesus Christ, not out of things that you and I do on our own. Again, this is probably review. If you've come here in the last month, you probably heard me say there's nothing we can do to earn our salvation. Yes, we are encouraged to walk in the ways of Jesus, and we will do the things that he wants us to do the more we understand who he is, but there's nothing we can do to earn it. We can't come to church a certain amount of times and then all of a sudden we've qualified. It's not the way it works. It's only through what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for us that we are made righteous in the sight of God the Father. Because remember, when sin entered the world all the way back in Genesis, it created a gap, a chasm between God the Father and his creation. But because he loved us so much, he gave his son Jesus Christ to die in our place, unifying God the Father with the creation. And so now God the Father sees you and I as sinless and faultless through the lens and through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's an incredible reality that we get to be a part of. Doesn't mean we can just do whatever we want, but it means that God has forgiven us and we have eternity with him. But that we can't earn it. It's what Jesus has done. And then we see that we are not the ones to judge. That's the third aspect that he writes in there. It's not up to us to judge. We deserve to be judged on our own. If it wasn't for what Jesus did on the cross, we would be in eternity without God. But because of what Jesus did, and when we acknowledge that he is our Savior, we get to enter into a right relationship with him. But we essentially deserve to be judged, so we need to leave the judging to him. Yes, there will be times where God may call us to rebuke somebody or to call somebody out in a loving and trusting and truthful way. But it is not our job to judge them and determine where they are spending eternity. This is for God the Father to do and only him. So overall, these three, four verses, overall, as the Spirit of Jesus lives in us, the truth of Jesus should be reflected through us. As the Spirit of Jesus lives in us, the truth of Jesus should be reflected through us. So how do we know this? How do we know if we're doing it good or doing a good job of it? How do we know if this is actually happening? Wouldn't it be great if there was some sort of a litmus test that we could take to sort of gauge where we are when it comes to reflecting the truth of Jesus? Well, there actually is one. And it's found in Galatians, again, by the Apostle Paul. It's not going to be on the screens. We did this last week. I'm going to kind of keep doing it from time to time. I want you to pull out the Bible that's in front of you, in the seat back in front of you. Or you can pull out your app if you want, if you have your YouVersion or Bible app. But I want you to go to Galatians 5, 22 through 23. And I'll give you the page number. It's page 946. 946. And we're going to read this, fruit of the Spirit, which is evidence of the Spirit of Jesus working through us. I'll give you a couple seconds to get there, and then I'll read this for us. Again, Galatians 5, 22 through 23. This is Paul writing to the church of Galatia about the following. It says this: "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, also known as patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Basically, Paul is saying, if you're doing these things, you're doing a great job. You don't have to worry about, you know, whether you're obeying the law or not, because if you're doing this list of characteristics, you're going to fall in line with it. It's just the fruit of what God has called us to do. And so, but what happens is that we see this fruit of the Spirit, this evidence of the Spirit working in our lives. We see this list sometimes and we think, I'm really good at, I'm very peaceful, I'm very kind, but I have no self-control and I'm not patient whatsoever. But so maybe, or maybe we look at that list and we're like, well, I'm like the majority of them I'm good at, so I can just kind of not worry about the rest of them. I have a passing grade, so I don't have to worry about the rest of them, right? But the fruit of the Spirit is designed and intended to be acted out as a whole, as an entire fruit. We are to display all of these qualities. So it's not like we can just push a couple aside that we don't like. We are encouraged and intended to display them all. Now, what often is mixed up with the fruit of the Spirit is the gifts of the Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit are, we all don't get the same gifts. We are given specific gifts for specific times. And this is found in 2 Corinthians. You can read up on that. It's a powerful passage that, again, the Apostle Paul describes. But sometimes you may have one gift and you may have another gift, and this is what brings the body of the church together as one whole, right? But the fruit of the Spirit is intended for all of us to display it in its entirety. And so as we're doing that, as we listen to the Holy Spirit, who is in fact our coach and our advocate, we naturally will produce more and more of this fruit effortlessly. It will become who we are. And in doing so, we will be reflecting the person of Jesus Christ each and every day that we live. So, again, as the Spirit of Jesus lives in us, the truth of Jesus should be reflected through us, and we should see that being reflected through the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians. So that sort of summarizes all of that, hopefully, into a bite-sized nugget that you can understand. Let me read the last few verses in our passage in chapter 16. It can get a little confusing, but I want to address that confusion as well. So beginning in verse 12, and you know what? Keep your Bibles in front of you. It's on the screens too, but why don't you jump back to this? It's page 876 on John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15, page 876. I'll give you just a second to get there. And this continues. Jesus sort of summarizes again what he just said, and then he kind of goes into some relational talk that gets a little confusing that we're going to address in just a second. It says this: "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth." So again, he's summarizing what he's just said. "He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." That's key, and we'll get to that in just a minute. "He will glorify me." See, he's referring to him as he. "He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." I'm sure that's confusing a little bit to most of us, right? It's just a whole lot of descriptive factors and he, him, I, he, what. It's crazy, right? So but what we see here is important, because what we see here is a glimpse of the Holy Spirit, or the Trinity. It's a glimpse of the Trinity: God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the fact that that Trinity interacts with you and I. And so there's four individuals really at play in this passage, but three of them, not including us, three of them make up the entirety of God. We've got God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit making up the Trinity. We do not worship three distinct different gods. Please hear me in saying that. That is not our theology. We worship one God, but that one God makes himself known in three different ways. It's very, at times, confusing. It's the mystery of God. And if we could put a formulaic equation to it and define it specifically, then maybe God wouldn't be God. Because at times we just simply need to place our faith and trust in him. But there is evidence all throughout scripture, even from the creation of everything in Genesis, that these three work together as one. But they will not ever contradict themselves. And this is what's interesting in what Jesus says here. He says the Holy Spirit is not originating something radically new, but speaking to people in agreement with the teaching already given from the Father and from Jesus. So the Holy Spirit's not like taking over and then going to change the way things work, right? The Holy Spirit is taking over, being exponentially sent out among all who believe in him and continuing the same work that Jesus did in even greater ways. And so there should never be any contradiction between what the Holy Spirit says and what Jesus has taught or lived out or done. And so it's clear that there is no division in the Trinity. It is one. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are all one, and they're speaking the same thing. And they do speak to us in ways in which we can understand. But like we talked about last week, we've got to be able to clearly tune in to what that is and what that sounds like for us. And so the best way to get the most clarity is to overlap a lot of the ways that God speaks to us. And that's what we're going to continue to do through this series. Again, today is a general teaching of the Holy Spirit. But as you walk through this week individually in your books and hopefully in your groups, you're going to learn specific aspects of the Holy Spirit and how he interacts with you, enables you, empowers you to do incredible things. But in combination with listening to the Holy Spirit, we should be overlapping that with listening to the Word of God, with listening to God through prayer, with listening to how God is speaking to us through circumstances in our lives, and how he speaks to us through the church, through one another. And as we overlap those things, we will see commonality between all of it. And wherever there's contradiction or wherever things don't align, maybe we need to focus in on that one and be like, maybe that's not something that God is speaking to me. Maybe that is something that the culture is speaking to me. And so the more we can do this and the more we can overlap this, the more clearly we will hear the voice of God in a variety of ways. And so today, it's the Holy Spirit that we're talking about, which is probably the easiest of all of them. And that was highly sarcastic. So, but if you're in tune with it, it's not so difficult. So it's a learned process that we can enter into. So in summary, God spoke in the past. God spoke through the physical body of Jesus Christ, and God continues to speak through you and I today through the power of his Holy Spirit. And it's our desire that when his Spirit speaks to you, you're able to listen and respond in joyful obedience. But as we continue from here, as we go from today, hopefully either today or tomorrow, you'll continue in week two of your study and really dive in to what God is continuing to teach you, and he's continuing to teach me throughout this entire process. But he is there and he is speaking to you. Are you there and are you able to listen to what he has to say to you? I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to join in with one more song with the McKinley campus, speaking of the idea that God wants to, in fact, speak to us and breathe a fresh wind, a fresh voice, not a new voice that alters something or contradicts something, but a new voice to you and I, the unchanging truth and reality of who Jesus has been all along. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are in this place unifying us with the very Spirit that we have talked about today, your Spirit, Jesus Christ. And it is our hope and it is our desire that we will clearly be able to hear from you more and more as we learn through this process together. God, we love you and we praise you and ask all of this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.